So if you've been listening to me or reading my blog or whatever, you know that I talk a lot about the social web. It's not a term that I particularly like, but it is what it is. And when I talk about it, it's not in sort of expansive terms like, oh, look at all the cool shit we're able to do with that now. You know, it's the opposite. It's look at all the doors that are closed so that we can't do anything with them. They create this utility, but then they don't allow us to combine the functionality of one tool with another tool to create something completely new. And, you know, I've been around in the software industry for a pretty long time. And this is the problem we've been working on since day one. I mean, it's, you know, is how do you set things up so that you have a set of tools, and instead of being captured and limited by what the programmers can think of for you, there's a way for new ideas to flow in around those programmers. And it's been a fight because there's this thing we call the programming priesthood, and they feel they have all the answers. I don't know how they feel, but I've never been on that side. I've been on the opposite side of it, which is I'm a tool maker and I'm a tool user, and I love good software that I can use. And like most programmers, I guess I spend I mostly use the tools I wrote myself. But that's not to say that I haven't delegated. I have. I've, you know, created products and then said to other people, it's your turn, and I'm going to step back and I'm going to use it. And I've done that quite a few times, actually. And it's been successful. It's a good way to go. But we can't do that with the world that Twitter created, that Facebook created, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, blah, 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 blah. You can't. They're designed to get you into their control, and you're limited in what you can do as a user by their idea of who you are and what you get to do. It's a fact. It's been a fact for a long time. It's no longer been a threat, you know, for a very long time. But every once in a while, we get a chance to break out of this and create something, and then a race is on. Then the race is on. Once we figure out what that thing is, okay, the race is on for some venture capitalist to decide to turn that into a jail where they can capture people, a trap, maybe. I don't know what a good metaphor is for that, but it's not fun. It's like we used to call that in the early days of the web when we were arguing with Microsoft about this. And I used to say, we were having fun, I have to say. I mean, it was like the freedom was great. I used to say, I want to ride up front with you. I don't want to get locked in the trunk. And, you know, because they had this great ad, Microsoft did, where, it really was a great ad because they knew how nerdy they were. It was Ballmer and Gates riding around in a car, and they were humming along to this stupid music, and they were going around picking up computers that people were throwing away. I don't remember exactly what the plot was, but it was the kind of thing that you watched a few times, you know, because it was fun, you know. And so, yeah, I pick up on that. I say, I don't want to ride in the trunk because that's where I think I am. Why don't you see me in this picture, you know, as a user, as a developer, you know? Well, because they're not thinking about you. It could just be as simple. Maybe they don't believe they have all the answers, but it had never occurred to them that you even exist. That is what happens when these things grow and get successful. And then they miss big things. And in the case of Microsoft, it was malware that they didn't recognize quickly enough that completely destroyed confidence in their platform by the users. There are an awful lot of people that switched to the Mac, not because they thought the Mac was particularly beautiful or greater, had a better user interface, because by then it didn't. Microsoft had caught up, and no, they we I switched. Everybody switched. I was using Windows at the time. Everybody switched simply because it didn't have the viruses. You could actually use the computer without, you could. What would happen on Windows is you would plan a day's work, and you'd drink your coffee, check in on the news, whatever, and then you sit down and oh my God, it's infected again. It would happen regularly. You would just lose a whole day. When I'm in that mode, it's like, great, I'm now thinking about all the cool shit I'm gonna get to do today, and it's crashed. It's gone. You can't use it. No. I happened to, by chance, need to buy a Mac and a laptop, and I did, and I never went back. I never used Windows again after that, just 'cause it didn't have this problem. And it was a nice computer too, FYI. So yeah, we have been in that mode, and I want to add, this is really important, actually, because we have a few sort of upstarts, people, companies that claim to be revolutionary in that area, and yet they are not. They're lying about it. It's just really, I don't like to say people are lying without really being fucking sure that they are lying, but they are. And it's stupid at this point. It's stupid. Lying about how free and open they are for users. They're not. They control users just like, I'm thinking of Blue Sky, basically. They control users every bit as much as the other platforms do. They decide what you get to write and what you can't write. And the tools that you get to use are not the tools of the web. They're the tools they decided to let you have, which is a real poor set of tools. It's this basically the exact same set of tools that Twitter put in the way in 2006. That's a amazingly long time ago. They haven't gone away yet. Here's our chance. Our chance is to break out and do it differently, because we are going to do it. Everything, we're going to do everything differently. We already are. And that is with ChatGPT, Claude, etc. I'm going to call it Claude now, by the way. Fewer syllables, and it is actually where I'm doing my work now. Claude Code is where I'm working. So, yeah. We get to redesign the whole fucking thing now. And give you some really good news is that whoever they are, the people who are building this system inside the companies, inside of Anthropic, inside of OpenAI, inside of XYZ, whoever they might be, they are building on open formats and protocols. There is a web belief in there that they're acting on, as opposed to the stale old technology of the Silicon Valley venture capital industry. They haven't gotten around to that level yet. They don't understand it. Nobody really understands how all the pieces connect together. No, let me take the really out. Nobody understands how the pieces connect together and what they do once they connect for humans. I just read a piece and it was like really stimulated thought. It said, yeah, well, all the great functions that are being built for the AI world, they're all for the machines, not for the people. It's true, actually, but I want to change that. I want to change that. I think there's a moment here where we can do a lot of, we can unlock things that were locked that shouldn't never have been locked. How about that? That's the quote. That should be the title of this. This should be a fucking podcast. I've been recording lots of stuff, but and none of it at the end of it feels like something that I should put out as a podcast. Too unfinished. I don't like thinking aloud so much. Not right now, because people really don't know what to make of what's going on. And things that are really completely unfinished at this point, I don't think they help anything. But if you want some encouragement, we did figure out in a, in, and I don't, we did figure out how to make open technology survive the attempts to be owned by the VC industry. We did podcasting. I mean, they wanted to control it. They thought they were sure they were going to control it. They invested according to that, and it didn't frickin' work. They don't control it. We here we are 20 plus years after the advent of podcasting, and you can still listen to podcasts on whatever player you want. There's nobody saying what you can and can't do there. There are specific places, if you want to be part of that, you're going to have to do it. That's fine, as long as they don't get in the way of your doing what you want to do. And that can be both technical and aesthetic. You know, if for some reason, some, you know, I don't know, Larry Ellison Corporation, who's like becoming the biggest media mogul in the world that nobody's ever heard of, very few people. If he ends up with 90% of all the podcast listening that goes on, then yeah, of course he's going to be able to tell you what you can and can't do, and you will listen because he you can't won't be a, nobody will be able to find you if he doesn't approve. So podcasting is a pretty great thing that way if you think about it. However it happened, it's the one medium that we have that actually people are really using that isn't controlled. And I think the reason for that was is that from day one, from the instant it existed, people expected choice. I think it's just that simple. And it was became built into the medium that it was one of these things, and I think it's a miracle when it happens. It's one of these things where anybody can create one of these things and nobody can stop it. Now that was the mission of the web. That was what, if you go back and read the pieces that I wrote on my blog in 1994, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, all through there, that's it. That's what we were building on. That was the euphoria. It lasted a long time, amazingly long time, actually. You know, it's kind of like being about NBA fan in New York right now. It is. Only it can't last that long. It's going to be over by mid-June, but could be over sooner. We're riding on cloud nine right now. If you don't know about the NBA, I'm not going to explain to you all what's going on. It's just that it's so nice to be a Knicks fan right now. Anyway. Where was I going with this? Right. So if you're inside of something and you're not, get on board with the web. That would be finally. I mean, I've been saying that over and over and over again, and everybody goes, "Oh, well, Dave, he's Don Quixote." Well, yes, of course he's right, but nobody's ever going to do it, so we don't have to worry about it, blah, 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 blah. No, now you actually do have to worry about it. If you're that sort of person, if getting back your freedom makes you worried, then yeah, you should worry. Now, we could totally blow this. Or we could all decide to work together and accept the web for what it is, stop trying to throttle it, stop removing features from it, stop trying to own it. Looking at you, Google. Kick back and let the people figure out what they want to do here. And let individual developers, whether they work at any of these big companies or they're out there on their own, because the thing you have to, I mean, there are so many things you have to realize that have changed. But an individual developer has become much, much more powerful. Truth. Truth. And that is a sign of a sea change. Every time that has happened, a tremendous boost in power for individual developers. Yeah, there's always been something great came from that. And I'm not going to say this is any bigger than any of the others because I was there when, I was there for the before and after of the personal computer. What I mean by that is that I was using computers before there were personal computers. And once, that's not literally true, by the way. It's just that was in the hobbyist phase of personal computers, and I never felt compelled to get around in wiring up circuit boards and shit like that. No, I'm terrible at it. I have actually tried doing that because I was a sound engineer at one point. And yeah, you do have to do a lot of it. I don't like it. I like intellectual stuff. Software is my thing. And when the PC came along, and all of a sudden you could put a computer in your house and it was yours. Nobody could tell you what to do with it. That was amazing because none of us had ever owned a computer. We had used other people's computers. They were expensive things, they were locked away. There were all these rules about what you could and couldn't do, and those rules were very, very well enforced. And along comes the PC, it's exactly the opposite. It's yours, do whatever the fuck you want with it. And we did. It had great limits. But we did. There was VisiCalc. Boom. Now we know what to do with it. Then we got networking. And we get the web. Same deal. Now we know what to do with it. We're going to get that here. That's going to happen here. And before that happens, we're going to be building. And we're going to be making decisions about what we're going to build on. And so far, the decisions have been made by other people, and I give them a big thumbs up.